Welcome to the WCHL Community Forum, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development at Durham Technical Community College. Our monthly forum features Chapel Borough's elected officials and community leaders debating topics affecting our community and you. The discussion is sponsored by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Chapel Hill is open to business and for business. More at opentobusiness.biz and by Durham Technical Community College, Durham and Orange County campuses. Do great things. The WCHL Community Forum begins now.
Welcome into the WCHL Community Forum here for the month of May. We're talking about school safety, important topic in our community, and we've got a variety of perspectives here. Joining us today for the WCHL Community Forum, Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue, Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood, Brent Stevens, board member from the Orange County Schools Board of Education, and Assistant Superintendent in Chapel Hill Carbaryl City Schools, Dr. Todd LaFreeze. Thank you all for joining us today. As we're just getting started with this, if everybody could kind of give me an idea of the role that your kind of perspective plays on this in general across Chapel Hill Carbaryl City Schools and in the Orange County Schools. And we'll start to my left here with Chief Blue.
Sure. Number one, thanks for pulling us together to have this conversation. In the Chapel Hill Carbaryl City Schools, the local police departments provide school resource officers in the middle and high school. So Carbaryl does that for schools in their jurisdiction, and Chapel Hill does that for schools in our jurisdiction. We work very closely with school officials and through our SROs to evaluate safety plans and to communicate, not just when there are crises, but before and between those. And we work real hard on those relationships and have an excellent team.
Sheriff Blackwood, continuing kind of the law enforcement side of that, what's the role of the sheriff's office in the county schools or kind of just across the county in general?
Well, our school resource officers are in the schools, not necessarily to police the children in the schools, but rather to support and support the administrative staff there and to assist in the assurance that the people that are in that building and those who visit the campus are safe. I think it's critically important to separate the two because a normal deputy's role in the field is to be vigilant of lawbreakers and enforce the law and maintain that safety throughout the community. Very different set of laws for those SROs and the way they enforce that in the schools. And it's more of a support role than it is an enforcement role. And I think that what we have seen organically is that the relationships that the SROs forge with those children are more positive than they might be if they were out just in the communities on a patrol fashion. So I think it's very important to have those relationships, and it does further the safety of those campuses.
And from the school board perspective, Brenda Stevens with the Orange County Schools, I know that y'all passed a resolution recently talking about school safety issues and urging some action from Raleigh and the General Assembly and kind of on up the chain there. So how do you try to address things like this?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for getting us together. I will dovetail on what Sheriff Blackwood have said. We have SROs, but I will say they're in all of our schools, not just, you know, middle and high. They're in elementary schools as well. And the role that they play is vital. They're a part of our daily operations, and they assist with keeping our schools safe, but they also communicate with our students. And that's very important because, as you know, with that most recent shooting in Santa Fe, I believe if there would have been some wraparound services with mental health, that would have helped because one young lady was targeted because, you know, she'd rejected him and he said he was just going to shoot the people that he didn't like. So that young man needed mental health services. So in our school district, I'd like to say that we don't have as much as we'd like to have as far as mental health is concerned, but our SROs play such a vital role, not just keeping us safe, which is important, but they communicate and they build trusting relationships with our students.
And Dr. LaFreeze, circling around here, I know that y'all have taken a lot of those same kind of steps in terms of trying to address the mental health needs as well.
We have. And, you know, just to start, safety is absolutely essential for students to be successful in school. They need to come into an environment and feel safe and secure and nurtured and cared for before education and learning can occur. And so that safety is a district top priority. And Chief Blue and the others in the room, we've talked about our SROs. You know, we have a fantastic partnership with the Chapel Hill Police and the Carrboro Police, and we're constantly working to improve and refine what we do and how we do it. But there's lots of different things that are going on in the school as well in terms of prevention measures, whether it be our positive behavior interventions and support program, anti-bullying work, restorative practices that we're engaging with in all of our schools. Co-located mental health services, and then just an immense amount of resources that we have by way of our social workers, our school counselors, our nurses. All of these people are engaged in working directly with our children to focus on the preventative side of this issue.
Brenda, I want to circle back to you a little bit, just talking about the what the district has already done and kind of just expounding on that a little bit. And I know that we were hearing whenever Governor Cooper was touring at Cedar Ridge, we heard from the school nurse there and things like that. How does the school board try to make those kind of strategic, intentional investments there?
Well, we have every staff member receives lockdown training annually. And key staff members receive emergency operations training to assist in preventing and providing help on the campus given a crisis. And we have visitor management and student checkout system that's been integrated with the National Sex Offender Registry. And one thing that I think is very important, our school board talked about this, we try to protect our students, but whenever we have, we do background checks on all contract workers coming on our campuses, including the National Sex Offender Registry. That's important because we have a lot of people working. So it's not just people coming into our buildings. We're trying to make our entire campus safe. Trying to think if there's something else that we're doing. And we have emergency radios and handheld radios in all of our schools so that people can, our staff members can communicate with one another given a crisis.
Chief Blue, from the training that goes into having an officer on the campus there, how does that work? And then how many of those officers are trained? Is that somebody's specific kind of day-to-day job?
You mean the officers who are assigned to the schools?
Correct.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, and the sheriff alluded to this, that's one of the most important services we provide in this community is putting an officer in a school for all the reasons that we've heard around the table this morning. I mean, those are unique positions, and we have a unique opportunity to really build strong relationships for those officers. So just the process of selecting an officer to go into the school, it involves a collaboration with the school system. We wouldn't send an officer there that the school system didn't have an opportunity to participate in the selection and approve that person. So before you ever even get in the door, you've been vetted pretty seriously because that's not the right fit for every single police officer. In addition to all, so it is important to say that officers that are assigned to schools, and the same is true for the deputies, they have all of the same training, mandatory in service, all of the same expectations in terms of their certifications that a road deputy or a patrol officer would. In addition to that, there's lots of training, specialized training around being a school resource officer, because again, that is a unique environment. Above and beyond that, in our school system, we collaborate closely with Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, and they make additional training available to our school resource officers, same kind of training that their staff members get around conflict resolution, de-escalation, and some mental health kind of awareness training. So to be a school resource officer means that you not only do you assume all of the expectations of any other police officer, but many, many more, recognizing that that's a unique opportunity, and we want to make sure the right people are in there and they have the right set of skills.
And on that partnership there, so we have a memorandum of understanding that's in place, that's been in place for 2 or 3 years now, and we're constantly looking at that, and we're kind of going through a revision right now. But one of the key things that we've done, and we're going to be doing again this summer, is we had a school resource officer summit. And that is now an annual event. And what we did there last year is it provided an opportunity for our school resource officers and the administrators in the schools that they're serving in to come together to discuss best practices, to review scenarios in terms of how to respond, and also just to make sure that we're clear in terms of the varied roles and responsibilities of a school resource officer versus that of a school administrator.
Sheriff Blackwood, I wanted to kind of piggyback on some of that as well in terms of selecting a deputy to be the SRO, and also as Brenda Stevens was talking about the lockdown training, how does the sheriff's office or does the sheriff's office participate or facilitate that? How does that work?
We do. We're very involved in the lockdown training, and we have several different trainings through the year, soft lockdowns where the officers can just come in and see how staff is going to respond. Then we can have a full-on lockdown where we engage everyone. The discussion about the picking and selecting of certain deputies or officers to go in those buildings, I think it's a critical component because, as the chief pointed out, every officer is not meant to be a school resource officer, just like every officer is not meant to serve on the CERT team. So we have to be very cautious when we place these. We first off want to make sure they're willing to do it because it is a very tedious assignment. You can imagine taking a young officer, putting them in a school surrounding, and having kids who are able to walk up to anybody at any time and said, that officer did this. And we're going to be on, we have to be on guard to make certain that our officers know how to respond, know how to behave in those school settings. It is a completely different environment than out on the road. The other thing that's critical, I think, in the conversation is we train our officers to say, police, stop. And we tell them, folks are going to stop, they're going to come to you, and they're going to be cordial, and that's not the case in most of our settings today. We're teaching our children to question authority. We're teaching our children to stand up for their rights at a very early age. And the discussion has to be somewhat different when you're training your officers, and they have to understand everybody's not going to stop, everybody's not going to be compliant, and you've got to understand that doesn't mean that they're being combative or trying to be resistant. It's just them being them. And you have to train the officers to be able to respond to that behavior so as not to escalate a situation out of control just because that's just the way that kid was acting.
This is the WCHL Community Forum here in the month of May talking about school safety across our community. We'll be back to talk about some more initiatives that are being discussed at the local and at the state level as the General Assembly is heading back into the short session as well here on 97.9 The Hill.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation.
To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Chapel Hill is open to education, arts, and culture, and exploring the natural world. We're a diverse place that appreciates our past and looks forward to our future. More at opentobusiness.biz. And by Durham Tech. With many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre Orange County campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
97.9 The Hill, I'm Blake Hodge. We've got Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Assistant Superintendent Dr. Todd LaFreeze, Brenna Stevens from the Orange County Schools Board of Education, Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue, and Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood talking about school safety throughout our community, which of course is a paramount topic of discussion as we're wrapping up the academic year for the traditional calendar and heading into the short legislative session of the General Assembly, where this is sure to be a topic. And I want to circle back to Brenna Stevens, who we were talking about some of the things the district has been doing, trying to implement some of these measures, and you had something else you wanted to add.
Right. I wanted to say a little something. I don't believe I fully articulated the infrastructure piece that, you know, to protect our students and staff, all of our buildings are equipped with video and surveillance cameras, and intrusion detection and alarm systems. And right now, our district is in the process of upgrading safety and security equipment along with controlling the access to the buildings. And I'll say that as recently as last night, I got my key fob, or whatever you call that thing, so that I can't just walk into the school board building anymore. But that's a good safety measure. So I wanted to put that out there. And so many people don't know that we have cameras on our buses. Okay. That's important because as your buses go through communities, throughout the community, you know, people can stop them or get on them or whatever. So those cameras are very important to us.
It brings up an interesting point as well, because there's a new initiative being implemented in Raleigh at the General Assembly Building of having metal detectors and a lot more surveillance in terms of who is going in. So is that part of any sort of discussion or measure being put in place?
Well, we haven't talked about metal detectors at this point. And I guess that could be rather, I could see that in Raleigh, because that I did encounter that last week because I was a part of that rally in Raleigh. But as we are in Northern Orange with hunters, like my dad always had a pocket knife. So, and he wasn't, you know, he was a good man and he was not, you know, looking for any trouble. But, you know, if you're doing work out in the country, you might have a pocket knife or such. So I could imagine metal detectors might be something that we need to talk about right much up in Northern Orange.
Dr. LaFreeze, anything from the Chapel Hill Carborough Schools about that?
We haven't had discussions about bringing in metal detectors either. You know, I think what we all need to remember is that schools are, you know, they're part of our community. They're a community hub. And what, you know, from a school system standpoint, we want to engage the community and invite them into our schools. Similarly, we want our students to feel comfortable each and every day coming into their schools. And my personal feeling on metal detectors is that totally changes that dynamic. Mm-hmm. There would need to be many, many, many more discussions.
Correct.
Before that would be something that we would move forward with.
Well, Sheriff Blackwood, I know that you were part of the discussions from the governor's crime commission, if that's correct, about some of the safety initiatives and just the broader discussion across the state, communities dealing with different things. What did you take away from that discussion?
Yes, so I am on the subcommittee with the governor's crime commission for school safety. And this is a discussion that is statewide. It's nationwide. Our legislators and our lawmakers are really taking a hard look at what we must do to ensure for the safety of our children. And I'll say to you that often they're the most vulnerable and least protected of our society. Secretary Eric Hooks has asked us to use the whole of government approach in whatever we do. And when you talk about whole of government within the county, you're not just talking about all of the elected officials and all of those service providers. You're talking about folks like you and I and families
and the families is a component that are important in this discussion. And we talk all the time about the fact that, you know, the school safety starts right at home. Mm-hmm. And it starts with good parenting. It starts with parental involvement. And I can remember when I was a kid in school, the last thing I wanted was my mother to come to the school. And my mom worked in the school. So I had a double whammy. I mean, if I got in trouble.
My dad was a high school principal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I had to go through my mom's office to get to the principal.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was on my P's and Q's. But I think as a parent, you know, and having two kids that went through the Chapel Hill, Carrboro City school systems, that I was involved, and I understood the importance of letting them know that I was involved. And if they needed me there, I was there for them. But I was also there to make sure that they were held accountable. And at the state level, the discussions are much the same. We're all struggling with what are we going to do? And the conversation has led to this. We are not going to stop school violence. We are not going to stop school massacres. And we need to stop calling them school shootings. These are much more than shootings that occur at a school. These are massacres. And we need to understand that the whole of government approach is going to require us to listen to the teachers. The teachers are going to have the tools and the infrastructure put there that's supportive of them. We're going to have to control access to our campuses by whatever means. And we're going to have somewhere for that information to flow to once it's discovered by a teacher. And as my wife was a second grade assistant teacher at Scroggs Elementary School, she would come home and tell me, you need to watch out for this kid. Well, that's important for our teachers to have somebody to give that information to, because more often than not, those teachers have got that sense of awareness about who might become a problem. And with no one to turn to and nobody to give the information to, or not being encouraged to share that information, that's a critical stop.
One thing that was brought up and discussed in the months since the Parkland shooting back on Valentine's Day, which has taken off in some places and, of course, received a lot of pushback in others, is arming people beyond the deputies and police officers and getting to teachers at that point. It seems to get a lot of pushback from teachers directly. Was that in any way part of the discussion there? And how do you feel about that from a law enforcement perspective?
It was, and I don't feel that it's a teacher's role to be armed. I think the teacher's there to teach. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we need to have anyone in the school with weapons that's not a law enforcement officer. Now, there are some counties in this state that view that quite differently, and the ask of them is to simply say, allow us to do it if we want to, mm-hmm. but don't make us do it. And I'm against it. I think that we all in this room are against it. So from this county's perspective, that there's something we don't want to start.
Chief Blue.
I'll just echo what the sheriff said. I did find it interesting. I was invited to speak at a leadership retreat of some teachers a few weeks ago from all over the state. And I did find it interesting, and as the sheriff alluded to, that when I asked them about being armed, there, as you might imagine, most of the teachers in the central part of the state said, absolutely not. They said everything the sheriff just said. In many other corners of the state, teachers said, absolutely, I'm ready, sign me up and let me know. So I do think it's a complicated conversation, and it's a highly local conversation in many ways. But I think if you ask most law enforcement folks, and I certainly think these two in this room would say this, when our officers are showing up to an active event, we want to know that the guns we see are in the hands of people who are trained consistent with how we're trained, and we don't want to be figuring out when seconds count. And we do know that statistically, seconds literally mean lives in these kinds of active events. We don't need to be figuring out who's a good guy and who's the bad guy. And I also think from the teachers with whom I interact regularly, they are there to teach and nurture kids, and that's how they want to spend their time. But I think it's an interesting conversation and probably one that's not going to go away. In fact, I think the discussion is elevated every time we have one of these tragedies.
Dr. LaFries.
One of the things that's hopefully happening in Raleigh in terms of the discussions, and it's not specifically related to some of the school safety bills that were filed, but in my mind very much needed, is a school facilities construction bond. And that bond funding could be used to help address some of the facility infrastructure issues that you can't address within your operational budget. You need big dollars to be able to make facility changes to create more secure environments. And so, you know, when I think about some of our older schools were built in the day where no one was thinking about these types of things. Multiple buildings, doors opening up to the outside, changes from building to building to building. When we build a new school these days, it's a self-contained campus. The front door is the way to get into the school. There's a secure vestibule, and so people are forced to check in at the main office. We can't make those changes in our older schools without significant capital dollars. And so at the state level, we're really hoping that there's support for that facilities bond to move forward.
Brenda, it looked like you wanted to jump in as well.
Oh, yeah, I just want to weigh in on the arming teachers. In my opinion, sure, we need to arm them, but arm them with appropriate salaries, not weapons. I do know that in our couple of school districts, I was at a state meeting, and I know in one county, they've already put the cabinet in the lobby for the guns. And I don't like weapons. In the military, we were taught to call them weapons, not guns. And towards the mountains, there are some teachers that said, yes, we want them, and we want that. But I'm thinking about, to say they want that, you know, they need to have training, the cost of the weapon, the cost of the ammo, and then additional insurance for the school district, because you'll have to have additional insurance, and that's another cost. But that aside, I think our teachers need to be armed with better salaries, not weapons.
Funding overall is certainly something we want to get into here during the next segment. Dr. LaFries, I wanted to circle around to something that we saw, I guess it was maybe a couple of years ago at this point, in terms of threats being made from a social media perspective. And I know Alamance County has been dealing with, I think, several of these just over the past week of what ultimately are deemed hoaxes in a lot of cases. Sometimes there's more to it than that. Whenever we were talking about information sharing earlier, Sheriff Blackwood, it made me start thinking about this. How does the school district try to monitor all of those things, and how does that information sharing then work?
Whenever we receive a report of a social media threat, that's something that we take very seriously. And so
how do you typically receive that report?
Oh, it could come in from a variety of ways. It could come in. We have someone in the central office that is routinely engaged in social media, and so they may come across something just in the course of their normal business. Oftentimes, students will share information. Students' parents will share information. Sometimes that information comes directly to us. Sometimes it goes to the police department. If it comes directly to us, it's going directly to the police department. And so it's something that we all have to be mindful of. And I think it kind of gets at regarding school safety, it is a community effort, right? And so it's not just the police department, and it's not just teachers. It's our parents. It's our students. I have my school ID on today, which also acts as a fob that gets me in and out of the buildings. Well, if I didn't have my ID on, I need our whole community to feel comfortable enough to say, who are you and why are you here? Please go up to the front office. And again, that gets at that community aspect. Mm-hmm. Kids need to feel empowered to do that. Our teachers need to feel empowered to do that. Our parents need to feel empowered to do that. And they also need to know that if they're seeing something or they hear something, that the responsible thing to do is to report it to a school official or to the police department.
And from a law enforcement perspective, how does that type of kind of the changing landscape of some of these things coming in, how does that change your method of either monitoring or then acting on that for
Well, I'll take a quick stab at it. I mean, I do think we've had a number of opportunities just this academic year to test this conversation, you know, receive some information. Now, what do we do with it? It doesn't seem necessarily on its face to be credible, but it certainly reached enough ears to be concerning. And I think that's an ongoing balancing act. I think I'm proud of our community default to actually over-communicate when in doubt. And we've been very deliberate about that. And in fact, sometimes I've gotten a little pushback about that. But I know our shared position between local law enforcement and our Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools is if we have information that we think we as a parent might want to know, then we're going to share it. And we will tell people what we intend to do. Don't be surprised to see more officers at school tomorrow, parents. We received a threat. We don't have any additional information about it right now. We would not discourage you from coming to school, but we might understand if you choose not to. We'll continue to inform you as we learn more. And sometimes that's the best you can do. I also think that if you establish up front that we're going to share information so people can make informed decisions, and I think going to Dr. LaFreeze's point, it really is school safety is a community responsibility. And one way we can reinforce that is by sharing what we know when we know it and continuing to evolve what we share as we learn more. I think that builds trust in our community, and it also gives us an opportunity to seek additional information where we're not sure. But in the day of social media, those challenges are not going to go away. We're going to continue to be frustrated sometimes by just enough information to scare us, but not enough to know how to act upon it. And it's going to remain a challenge.
Sheriff, you were nodding along through that. Anything to add on to that?
Well, I just think it's critically important that we stay involved in all platforms of social media. It's changed the landscape for law enforcement for certain. And we all know that a lie can get around the earth several times before the truth can get started and get its shoes on. So you talk about something as simple as a fatal accident within the community. That information gets back to the parents or the family of that individual before we can even deliver the message if we sit back and pretend that we don't need to be involved in social media. Chief Blue alluded to, and I completely agree with, we've got to get as much information out as we can, as quickly as we can, in whatever platform we have available to us. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to hit all the news stops, but we're going to get it out. Twitter is an ongoing platform. Facebook is an ongoing platform. They have both caused us a lot of problems, and they have both created a lot of solutions. It's understanding how that works and being involved in it and taking part in every bit of training that we can that keeps us on top of that social media conversation. And you know what? We as administrators, the chief and I, have been maybe criticized a little bit for being involved with social media as much as we have, but it is critically important to the outcome of our successful goals. So I'm very proud of our involvement with it.
Well, there's a lot kind of out of the control of local officials in some cases, and we want to talk about some of that and what y'all may like to see from the state level, whether it be policies or funding initiatives, things like that, as we continue on here with the WCHL Community Forum talking about school safety this month on 97.9 The Hill.
Get ready to try something new or maybe fulfill a lifelong dream. Sign up for continuing education courses at the Durham or Orange County campuses of Durham Tech. You can explore everything from photography to culinary arts, information technology to healthcare, EMS training to foreign language essentials, and you can take many of the courses in the evening or on the weekend. So go ahead, visit durhamtech.edu and click on continuing education, and get ready to do great things.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation.
To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Chapel Hill is open to education, arts, and culture, and exploring the natural world. We're a diverse place that appreciates our past and looks forward to our future. More at opentobusiness.biz. And by Durham Tech. With many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre Orange County campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
We're talking about school safety in our community here for this month's Community Forum. We've got Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood, Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue, Brenda Stevens from the Orange County Schools Board of Education, and Dr. Todd LaFreeze from the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools District. He's assistant superintendent there. And we've talked about a lot of local issues, local action, things that have been implemented already or are kind of being pressed in terms of either messaging or policy. But one thing is we've got the State General Assembly going into what they certainly seem to be anticipating to be a very short legislative session, first time we've had one of those in a little while. But Dr. LaFreeze, you mentioned the construction bond. Can you tell us a little more about that or expound on some other issues that the district is looking for and maybe with hopeful eyes from the General Assembly?
Well, one of the things that I know they've been talking about is additional support for positions like nurses or mental health positions. And so I think those would be critical for us, even in our district. We're very fortunate. We live in a community that strongly supports education. But in our budget requests this year, there are requests for needs that we have in our schools around meeting kids' mental health needs, whether that be through licensed clinical social workers or school psychologists. Those are part of our budget request, and so if the General Assembly could provide additional support in those areas, it would definitely be it would definitely go a long way to help our needs. And you know, when I look at some of the other communities across our state, I don't know how they're doing it because they have few and far between the supports. We're fortunate; we've got a social worker and a nurse in every single school in the district, obviously counselors, school psychologists, and so forth. There's not many districts in the state that have that, have those types of resources to work directly with kids.
Brenda, I want to turn to you as well, talking about kind of that same issue of you know, we are in the middle of budget request and then figuring out where we're going to settle on all of those final numbers. So what's the messaging you're hearing from teachers, from parents, and from maybe local legislators as well?
Right. So I was I was at the rally in Raleigh, and it was clear they're just not talking about their salaries, you know, as Todd alluded to. But what I alluded to earlier was the governor's visit to Cedar Ridge on April the 19th, when he said that he was going to include wraparound services in his budget. I believe that would help all of us. We're very fortunate in Orange County to have commissioners that funded our school district so that we could have nurses in all of our schools. However, we need, as Todd said, we need additional social workers, and I would say SROs. We have an SRO in each school, but I believe if a school is large, and you know, you can't be at two places at one time. So I believe, you know, there's a need for additional SROs, but that'll be a bridge that we'll cross when we get to it. I certainly hope that given all of the support that showed up in red, that they will get off of their stools of do nothing and do something for our teachers and students.
From the law enforcement perspective, Sheriff Blackwood, looks like you wanted to jump in there.
So when we talk about how many officers it takes to work any event, mm-hmm. There's a couple things that you got to take into consideration. One is if there is one officer there and there's a likelihood that something is going to happen and that officer has to deal with that, then the rest of the population is left unattended to. Mm-hmm. Whether it be our courtrooms, whether it be our schools, whether it be a sporting event, if we're charged to work there, then we have to have adequate staffing. And we have a number system that we use, so many officers per so many hundreds. And the same type system is used within our school systems when our fire marshal comes in and says, you're going to have an event, you got to have so many safety officers there. Safety officers meaning school personnel have received certain training about how to get people to exits and whatnot. So to ask one officer to work a school is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the way the schools are designed currently. As Dr. LaFreeze pointed out, there needs to be some retrofitting for our facilities to increase efficiency of movement and efficiency in staffing.
Chief Blue, I know that we were talking about training earlier, and you had mentioned some possible expansion of some of that in terms of what's required across. It would be across the state, is that correct? And what's the details of that?
Yeah, and I don't know if the I don't know if the bill's been introduced yet, but I know the Attorney General has a real strong interest in mandating the school resource officer training that is currently offered across the state now for officers who are in schools. It's a 40-hour training on top of all of their regularly required mandatory training. But it has not been required in as a matter of state law that any person in a school serving as an SRO have that training. Many districts, including ours, have made that a requirement, but we've done that because we know it's a good idea. I would imagine that sometime in this session, a bill will be introduced that would ultimately result in that 40-hour school resource officer training becoming mandatory for any officer assigned to a school. And I think the thinking is within the first year that they're assigned. 40-hour class is hard to get under your belt when you're working full-time. As we've been able to commit to it here locally, so too I could imagine other districts would be able to.
Sheriff Blackwood, this seems to be another kind of example where some people would look at what's going on in Orange County. Chapel Carborough is maybe a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of policing practices. How does the sheriff's office stay ahead of that curve once you're there, and what type of leadership do you try to offer to other sheriffs that may come to you with questions about stuff like this?
Well, the Sheriff's Association allows us all to have communication, and that's one of the most important roles of the Sheriff's Association is to be the voice of the law enforcement to the legislators. Everybody's talking about the need for this training to happen. We talked to the director about if the training academy can they provide that training if it became law tomorrow, and they said absolutely they can. The question becomes then, when as administrators can we get our folks into that training, because they're in school most of the time. So that leads us to having to have it during the summertime, and every school in the state would have officers who were required to get that training. So we've got to figure out a way to balance how that training is delivered and to make certain that they have those training opportunities made available to them.
This is the WCHL Community Forum on 97.9 Hill, talking about school safety across our community. We'll be back to wrap up the Community Forum after this.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation.
To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Chapel Hill is open to education, arts, and culture, and exploring the natural world. We're a diverse place that appreciates our past and looks forward to our future. More at opentobusiness.biz. And by Durham Tech. With many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre Orange County campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
We have got a wonderful panel of different perspectives to bring this discussion to you this month. We've got Charles Blackwood, the Orange County Sheriff, Dr. Todd LaFries from Chapel Hill Carbaryl City Schools, Brenda Stevens from the Orange County Schools Board of Education, and Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue. So we've got law enforcement and administrative representatives from both the districts here locally, but we're also talking about, of course, a lot of state issues. So we'll kind of go around and just wrap this up talking about maybe what you feel like is next or an important next step in this discussion that either we haven't talked about a lot so far or just you feel like needs reiterating. And Chief Blue, I'd love to open it up to start with you as we go around the table.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I was just going to agree with everybody else. No. I just want to echo what Dr. LaFries said before. I think the discussion about school safety is a community discussion. Each campus is its own little community. And I think this is going to be an ongoing dialogue. It's not just about metal detectors or clear backpacks or more SROs. It's maybe little bits of all of those things and much more. It's about community empowerment to challenge someone who's on the school grounds who perhaps shouldn't be there or at least notify an official. It is about a real conversation about SROs. You know, I think in the wake of Parkland in Texas, we hear calls for more SROs, but I remind you that in this community, it wasn't long ago we were talking about whether we need them at all. So I think that's a complicated conversation and not one that's easily navigated, recent tragedies aside. So, and also think that thinking about that school environment as its own little community is really important. I mean, as a parent with two kids who have come up through this school system, I have observed some of the least cooperative participants in school security issues actually being parents who I've seen folks behaving very badly in lobbies of schools when they didn't want to sign in and they wanted to walk to their kids' classroom. And, you know, I think as a community, we have to say that's not okay. Mm-hmm. And we have to challenge our neighbors to understand we're all in this together. And that if we work together better, then we will create a safe environment together. So I'll be the one to say that. Parents, please be part of the solution here and know that school staff, they have your children's best interest in mind. In fact, that's what they think about from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. I know they do. And those procedures that are in place are to protect your kids. And I certainly stood outside Estes Hills pushing the buzzer myself a few mornings, wishing the door would open more quickly. But it seems to me that's the price of admission to have a safe environment for my kid. So thanks for the opportunity to get together today and talk about some of these issues. I suspect we will have future opportunities.
Sheriff Blackwood.
I agree that this is going to be a discussion that's, you know, thankfully not going to go away. Out of these discussions come great ideas, and those ideas turn into policies and procedures that allow us to better do our jobs. As the sheriff of the county, the last thing I want to be involved in is a news conference after a school shooting. Our phones ring off the hook, the chief and mine, and I'm sure everyone else does. When a school shooting occurs or a massacre occurs in another state, we spend the majority of the next 2 days ensuring everyone that we have a plan. We have trained that plan. As I said before, we're not going to stop these things from occurring, but we can limit the damage once they do occur and recover quickly. It does take everyone and the chief points out the most critical and most important component is the parents, the kids, the teachers. They're all important. We have to listen to everyone, and we've got to have engagement from everyone. I think the troubling thing to me is the way that children feel when they're in school now versus the way I felt when I was in school. That's the most troubling takeaway I have. I can remember seeing an officer at our school in the 70s at Culbreth and wondering what in the world has happened. Some catastrophe. This has got to be big. And I'll never forget it. It was David Hughes, was a deputy. And he was at the school because a child had become a little bit out of control, and it got a lot out of control, and they had to take him into custody. And it was just, it was the talk for weeks. And now you can have a group of officers walk through a school, and nobody even notices it. And that's sad. That's a sad commentary on what we've done. And when you think about what children have to face every day, for them to have to face that in one of the places that's supposed to be the most secure and the most opening and inviting for their mind to learn, and they're having to worry about whether or not they're going to get killed, that's a problem. And I don't know how to solve it. I wish they did.
Brenda Stevens from the Orange County Schools Board of Education.
Well, that's a hard one to follow. But in Orange County Schools, where first choice for families is our tagline, safety of our students and staff is the highest priority for our school district. It was obviously one of the candidate goals for all of the candidates, actually. And this was my fifth term, and I looked back in all of my information. Safety was always one of my goals. So clearly, as Sheriff Blackwood said, it is going to be at the very top of our minds. And I'll say that our district will continue to work extensively with law enforcement and area public safety officials, emergency management, and community partners to refine our safety plans. And I'd like to say thanks to you for providing this opportunity to talk about this very timely topic today.
Dr. LaFreeze, you mentioned something earlier about safety being essential for students to be successful, and that just stuck with me. So I wanted to kind of circle back and finish with you on this as well, talking about the holistic approach to this.
So one of the things we've been working on and we're going to continue to work on is to elevate our culture of safety across our whole school district. We've hired a safety director, and so that person is in place and is working really hard to help advance those goals. Over the summer, we're going to be working with a nationally recognized expert, Safe Havens International, and assisting us with reviewing, revising where appropriate, our emergency operation plans. We're also going to be releasing a new safety website. We have so many different supports and resources and partnerships that are in place that are working hard on this. And I know people are wondering, like, well, how are you keeping my kids safe? And so we're trying to figure out how we can communicate that. And so we've come to the idea that we're putting this website together that shows where all of these partnerships and communication are occurring. But then coming out of that, it's opportunities to strengthen the collaboration and strengthen those partnerships. And as I stated earlier, we're all in this together. This is a community-wide effort, and we need our entire community helping us to keep our community and our schools and our students and staff safe. Thank you for having me here today.
This is the WCHO Community Forum. That was Dr. Todd LaFreeze from Chapel Hill Carbondale City Schools, Brenda Stevens, the Orange County Schools Board of Education, Sheriff of Orange County, Charles Blackwood, Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue. I'm Blake Hodge. Thank you so much for listening to the WCHO Community Forum here for the month of May, talking about school safety on 97.9 The Hill. If you missed any of the conversation today, you can go over to our website, chapelworld.com, and listen through this and all of the other community forum conversations that we have here on 97.9 The Hill.
This month's WCHL Community Forum was presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Its mission is to support opportunities to put Chapel Hill's people to work and create economic prosperity for all, now and in the future. More at opentobusiness.biz. And by Durham Tech. $500 scholarships are now available at Durham Tech for any Chapel Hill, Carborough, or Orange County High School resident who graduated from their local high school in the past year. So go to durhamtech.edu and type Connect Funds into the search box and get ready to do great things.
Get ready to try something new, or maybe fulfill a lifelong dream. Sign up for continuing education courses at the Durham or Orange County campuses of Durham Tech. You can explore everything from photography to culinary arts, information technology to healthcare, EMS training to foreign language essentials, and you can take many of the courses in the evening or on the weekend. So go ahead, visit durhamtech.edu and click on continuing education, and get ready to do great things.
Chapel Hill is open. Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit. To foodies.
To innovation. To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.